News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.07 on Mobile Mornings. Big celebration in downtown Mobile today. I'll be down there for the Hall of Fame walk dedication. Should be a lot of fun, and more than likely going to be a really big turnout, too.
Yeah, what a great day, and looks like the weather, hopefully, setting up nice, especially if the rain completely stays away.
Nice
during
and hot.
All of that. Yeah, nice and hot, that's a good point. But it is a big day for the city of Mobile, and then the Senior Bowl, too, making a big announcement this morning that Panini, the merchandise company, trading card collectibles company, now the title sponsor of the Senior Bowl here in Mobile. So we will, at 8:30, talk with the new executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl, Drew Fabianich, joining us to talk about the big move. Also, his big move as executive director now and what we can expect from the team moving forward.
Where's he been, you know, in the past? What's his experience? And how does he see the Senior Bowl moving forward? Because you can only move forward from here. So we'll see what he's got to say.
And right now, we'll see what Quinn Hillier has to say. QuinnHillier.com also writes for some Louisiana papers. You got The Advocate. You got NOLA.com where you can find his work. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So what is there to talk about, Quinn?
There's nothing important going on in the world at all. Nothing whatsoever.
It's just, I mean, up to the minute, you know, up to the second, things are changing, it seems, with the big story coming in this morning was that there was a ceasefire. Now, I'm not exactly sure if there is a ceasefire, if Iran broke that or if Israel broke that or if both.
Well, look, it was a weird ceasefire because the way Trump announced it, he said, well, Israel, one of them has 12 hours before they have to do it, and then the other one follows suit in 12 hours, which meant that one of them had like 12 free hours or free shots or something. I mean, it didn't make a lot of sense. And then, of course, Israel took advantage of the open window before the actual ceasefire to launch another number of strikes into Iran, and Iran retaliated. Look, where is this going? I don't know. Mark Levin had a good point yesterday, and that is that what we should want more than anything right now is not a ceasefire for the sake of a ceasefire. We should want Iran's evil intentions to be either obliterated or renounced. This doesn't do any good if Iran still has its fourth nuclear site with a whole bunch of Russians working there, by the way, which Andy McCarthy in National Review pointed out. And it doesn't do any good unless Iran renounces its desire to wipe Israel off the map. If Iran would say, we agree, we're going to let inspectors in all over the place, we are never, ever, ever going to do uranium to the degree that it could be made into a bomb, and we'll let the whole world see, and we recognize Israel's right to exist, that's when this should end. And in return, we could welcome Iran back to the League of Nations. We could say, we're not going to mess any of your internal stuff, but stop threatening everybody else outside of your borders. We'll trade your oil again. We will welcome you to the world.
Normalize,
but stop your terrorism. Stop your terrorism against us, and stop saying that you want to wipe Israel off the face of the map.
Last night kind of reminded me of that arcade basketball game with the time running out, and you're just lobbing shots. Mm-hmm. I was hoping it would end, and maybe it has this morning after Israel hit that radar installation and then said, okay, now we're done. But, Quinn, you can understand why so many Americans, especially now with a lot of our actions in the Middle East over the last few decades, but even beyond that, it doesn't seem that regime change, especially when it comes from outside the country, not organically, maybe it works, but to me it doesn't seem like it works that often. Why are we so sure that changing the regime in Iran will really change things?
I didn't say anything about changing the regime. I said.
So just get them to denounce everything that Khamenei's been doing for 86 years?
They can do whatever the heck they want, even though we don't like it internally, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they can still rule, but they have to say that they will no longer pose a threat, that they will not sponsor terrorism, they will not enrich uranium other than, you know, to very small, clearly domestic power uses. They will allow inspectors in. They will stop sponsoring Hamas, stop sponsoring Hezbollah, and they will recognize Israel's right to exist. If if the regime will do that, they can, you know, they can be as fundamentalist as they darn well please, and they can keep on ruling.
What are the chances that this regime, without any change, and we know at the head of the regime, is the gentleman who's been in charge for a long time and has his stated and religious beliefs that are you know, they are what they are. It doesn't seem like he doesn't seem as much like he's a dictator. He's not a politician. So what are the chances that he would actually concede to those changes?
Well, the chances are not very high. But on the other hand, if we use enough force against him, he might not have any other option if he wants to stay alive. I mean, look, this is realpolitik. What I'm saying is keep the pressure on, keep destroying their military, not civilian, their military targets, and there are still a lot more of them, and basically break him.
Hmm.
But that doesn't, you know, it would be in his, make it so that it is in his interest to say, if I want to stay alive and stay in power, I'll just have to recognize that my power extends only within my own borders, and I'm not going to export terror anymore.
Trump has said it. I believe Netanyahu has said it, that Khamenei's hiding, but they have him in their crosshairs. If they do get the shot at the Ayatollah, should they take it?
That's a question I cannot answer. And again, because I haven't said it yet. I've said it other places. I'm very careful to talk about what I know and what I don't know. I do not have the intelligence that Trump has. I do not have the intelligence that Marco Rubio has. So I don't know what happens next if the Ayatollah is killed. We don't know who comes in power next. I'm sure Trump has some intelligence about that, but we don't know that, and Trump may not know that either. What we can know is that in that entire region, power speaks.
Hmm.
You know, our appeals to, you know, democratic morality, whatever, that doesn't speak. Our, you know, begging people to be nice and do the right thing, that doesn't speak. But power speaks.
Hmm.
And right now, between Israel and the United States, we have used justifiable power to inflict great losses on the Iranian military, and we need to keep that as either something being used or something ready to go. But regime change, I don't know, and that's why I think Trump is wise to have not killed Khamenei unless he knows what's coming next.
Well, this hasn't really been discussed much. I saw a Wall Street Journal op-ed. There are so many people concerned about what our allies think of us with Trump in office, but talk about how Putin's allies must feel. And so many countries he's made. Now, it wasn't a direct defense pact with Iran, but he has made similar and even more detailed military cooperation pacts with other countries. And then when push comes to shove, Russia's nowhere.
Right, which will isolate him, and that is very good. Although I will, again, I urge people to go read Andy McCarthy in National Review, because there's a fourth nuclear site there, and it's a nuclear site that is essentially run by Russians in Iran, being run by Russians, and we haven't touched that. And frankly, I think we should tell tell Putin that he has 48 hours to get all his guys out of that nuclear site because we're going to obliterate it too.
Where did that That's information? I see it came from the article, but where did he get that information? Since it's so fresh and new, I haven't heard that.
I had not heard it either, but I mean, Andy tends to know what he's talking about, mm-hmm. and so. Again, I urge people, go to National Review, read Andy McCarthy.
Huh.
None of this does any good if they have a site that can enrich uranium to nuclear weapons power.
Sure.
And I don't know whether that fourth site can do it, but it is a nuclear site. It is in Iran. It's controlled by Iran, but it's being directed, in essence, by Russian scientists.
Gee whiz.
I feel like Andy McCarthy needs to tell Netanyahu this news. Let him know.
Andy McCarthy is like the only one in the world that knew about
it. We're talking with Quinn Hillier, and that is huge news. I'm sure that'll be making its rounds today. I did want to ask you your thoughts, whatever happens going forward. What are your thoughts on the precision that Israel used to start this thing off by just taking out, like, basically the top command of the Iranian military and then scientists at the precision, and then to hit the way they did? Talk about Israel's military here.
It's spectacular. I mean, again and again, their intelligence services proved to be the best in the world, even though they were so interested in high tech that they missed some very low tech stuff from the Gaza Strip, obviously,
yeah.
nearly three years ago. But in terms of what they saw as major threats, it's the best intelligence service in the world, even better than Great Britain's and better than ours, I believe. And their coordination of that with their military and their precision is just remarkable, and my hat's off to them, because look, they have never ever ever said we want to go outside of the borders of ancient Israel. They do not want to take over Syria. They do not want to take over Iraq. They do not want to take over Jordan. They just want the original borders of ancient Israel and to be left in peace. All anybody has to do is leave them in peace,
alone.
And they are not an expansionist country.
No, for sure. There are some reports. I'm curious if you've heard any of this, that the damage and the destruction in Israel is a good bit, maybe far worse than is even being reported. Somehow they're trying to keep the lid on that.
I don't know. I've got a friend over there. Haven't talked to him in 2 days, but about 2 days ago, he said he was safe. He said they're all sort of buckling down, but that this is that he said, and he's right, that right now Israel is doing the world a favor. And it's absolutely a favor because, again, Iran thinks we're the great Satan. They have sponsored terrorism against the United States for 45 years. And so, people who say, well, this isn't our war. Well, this is our justifiable military operation because we are their ultimate targets. And they have been weaponized against us for 45 years.
I did want to ask you, Quinn, because you were talking about Israel's their spy services, their special operations, their military, clearly, really, really good at what they do. But you'd have to be blind to not see the concern from a lot of Americans that Israel's a little too deep in with a lot of the American politicians. There's talk so often about how much dirt maybe Mossad has pulled up on a lot of politicians and they're able to kind of bend them to their will. You talk about the AIPAC money. What are your thoughts on all that?
That's nonsense. That's absolute 100% nonsense. American politicians support Israel for two reasons. One, because Israel is right. And two, because the American public overwhelmingly supports Israel, and the politicians aren't worried when they support Israel. They aren't worried about some secret in their past. They're worried about their voters, and their voters support Israel, and so for lack of any other better thing in the contrary, the politicians are going to do the same thing as well they should.
All right, Quinn, still more to unpack, so we'll do that on the way. It's 8:21 with Dan and Dalton.
Yeah, we'll hit a little local story here as well, something that I know Quinn likes to brag about, so we'll get into that. And your text, 251-343-0106, with more Mobile Mornings on the way.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 826 on Mobile Mornings. Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, our guest.
Yeah, and let's bring it on back home. Quinn, Pritchard Prep. Been hearing so much about Pritchard Prep, and I believe you're on the board. Talk a bit about what's going on there. I guess an invite to the White House, not for the first time this year, though, for the principal.
Right, and look, I am biased because I'm on the board of Pritchard Prep, but it is just a jewel that we have preschool through fifth grade. And about 2 years ago, Pritchard Prep became a semifinalist, got a big grant from a national organization called the YAS Prize. And our principal, Portia Green, impressed them so much that they have kept her involved in related groups. One is called the McLeod. I forgot the actual name, but McLeod. And they have been so impressed with her, they have brought her to the White House, and they're about to bring her again to be one of like 10 or 12, I don't know the exact numbers, educators from across the country that make presentations, and in this case talking about school choice and how it actually works on the ground and what some of the benefits are. And so she's literally going to the White House for the second time this year, and then next week or 2 weeks from now, July, 2nd through 5th, something like that, the Essence Festival in New Orleans, which is a big deal, largely African-American, you know, outfit that does a lot of good and brings together good ideas, et cetera. She has been asked to speak there. So Portia Green, principal of Pritchard Prep, is representing Pritchard, representing the Mobile area, representing her school
and school
very,
choice
very well, and school choice all over the place, and you know, again twice in the White House. That is just remarkable. I'm not saying she's meeting with Trump. I'm not sure who she's meeting with, but literally conferences on the White House grounds, in the White House itself, and then again speaking at this great thing in New Orleans in 2 weeks. Pritchard Prep deserves everybody's support. It's just doing great stuff. And I will say this, there, you started the show talking about the Hall of Fame walk the school, whatever the name of the school was that was there decades ago before it became a police station and before it became Pritchard Prep, happened to be the school that Billy Williams went to. He is one of the Hall of Famers that we're gonna celebrate today. He showed up yesterday at Pritchard Prep because it was the site of his old school.
So cool.
Really neat thing.
That is really good. And I know you don't know the answer to this. I would love to see the statewide test scores for the average Mobile public school as opposed to Pritchard Prep.
Well, I can
side
tell you
by
this.
Side.
I can tell you this. Pritchard Prep students invariably score about a year to a year and a half ahead of grade level.
Yep. That's not the huge for sure.
That's fantastic.
It is. Thanks, Quinn, and we'll talk in a week.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
There you go. That's Quinn. And big Senior Bowl news this morning. Panini, now the title sponsor. We'll talk with new executive director Drew Fabianich with the Senior Bowl after this.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:30, nearly 8:35. Senior Bowl's got a new sponsor. Senior Bowl's got a new executive director. A lot of things going on with the Senior Bowl.
A lot. Drew Fabianich, executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl, new title sponsor, and this is very cool. Drew, we are so glad to get to talk to you on Mobile Mornings. Thanks for coming on with us.
No, thrilled to death to be with y'all. This is first time on with y'all.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled to death.
Well, thanks, man. What a journey your career has been. We'll get into a little bit of that, but first things first, a new sponsor.
Yeah, so
for the bowl,
Panini America, and I certainly have some Panini things laying around my house, and so it's very cool. They are now the title sponsor. That announcement being made this morning. Talk a little bit about how this all came together.
Well, I mean, it was actually started before I even came on board, and you know, and whether it was the board, whether it was Elizabeth Dupree, I mean, there's so many people that helped with, you know, getting this deal done, you know, and they were kind of a practice sponsor before, so they kind of knew what they were getting into. I think it's a great, great partnership, just because it's sports related. Mm-hmm. And I knew a little bit about them because they bought out Donruss, you know, baseball cards, and that was when I was living in Dallas. I think this is a great, great partnership just because I think it brings so much visibility, you know, to the players that are going to be in our game, you know, because they represent like over 3,000, you know, players already. Hmm. And that's just growing and growing. And I think that the players are going to be excited about this also. Cause can you imagine, you know, being a college kid and seeing your first card when you come down here, you know, as a player? I mean, I dreamt of things like that. I don't know about you guys, but
yeah.
Super, super excited to have them. They're going to be at a launch party tonight, and I'm looking forward to meeting them. And I think this is just going to make our game grow and grow and grow.
It seems like a really good marriage because it is sports related, and that chocolate just gets all over your hands. So well, we've had enough of that.
Think about all the memorabilia all over the walls of restaurants and businesses around mm-hmm. here from the Senior Bowl, and how many of those guys that come down here to play end up just being massive, massive names just a few years, sometimes even a year into their career. Yeah. And having that memorabilia or having that card, it's super cool, not just for us, but like you said, the athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. And put it this way, and we did a, you know, Jack Gilmore did actually gifting of the players last year because Panini did cards last year for the players that were here.
Uh-huh.
We sent it to the agents that were actually had players drafted. And we got incredible feedback on that piece of it, too. So it's not just for the player, but it's for the agent. And like I said, it's for the people of Mobile, too, because they'll appreciate it more, too, especially when they become, you know, really good players, you know, i.e. Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Sorry, there was a cowboy plug there.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And by the way, I watched Jack Gilmore play in high school, very aggressive, and let's just say a lot of hitting after the whistle. Pass that along to him. Jack was a great guy. Talk about your experience with the Dallas Cowboys for years and years, and how you were very successful there, and had you know, your job was very high stakes.
Well, I mean, it's always high stakes in the NFL, and you know, if you don't perform, you don't keep your job. And I was, you know, very pleased that I had my job for 18 years with the Joneses. You know, I didn't win any Super Bowls. Got close. Des Bryant catch, not non-catch.
Yep.
You know, but we drafted 67 Pro Bowlers in my time, you know, with, you know, the Cowboys, which
you were, you know, a scout. You were a scout.
Yes, I was the national scout. Yep. For the Cowboys. You know, and I was in, you know, the war room 14 out of my 18 years, you know, to make decisions and draft with the Joneses. Love the Joneses to death. Love the Cowboys. You know, I just thought it was time for me to move on and do something different. So I journeyed into being a GM in the college level, and you know, that's it's quite a mess right now. And when this opportunity came about, I couldn't resist this one, because this is the premier all-star game, you know, across the board. Always has been, always will be.
And it's wild, Drew. We're talking with the executive director of the Panini America Senior Bowl, Drew Fabianich. And it's really wild, your career. You've kind of had you've done a little bit of everything over the years. And then, like you said, some of these just huge names and great finds when you were working for the Cowboys. But then to transition to GM of a collegiate program like Auburn and then West Virginia, that kind of had to change your, I guess, job title, but exactly what you're doing. And then now to run this as executive director of the Senior Bowl, all kind of in the same, obviously you're working in football, but different titles and different responsibilities. It sounds like you're well prepared to run this game that we all love so much down here.
Well, I think that, you know, just your experience, you know, well, my experience kind of lends itself real well to this position, but it also lended itself really well, you know, as the collegiate GM piece, you know, because if you don't run a college now like an NFL program, mm-hmm. I think you're behind the eight ball already. You have to be forward thinking. You have to be ahead of the transfer portal, just like you would a pro department in the NFL. You know, I did fundraising, you know, when I was coaching. I coached for 17 years. So I understand what coaches are looking for. I understand what players are because I coached them. Then in personnel, you know, I learned, you know, exactly the evaluation process and how to value players. And that's what we have to do because, again, we want the best of the best. And that's what we're here for. And no other community supports their game like this community does. Just think about it. How many all-star games have you saw that all of a sudden they change cities every 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. or they're not even existent anymore? Well, there's a reason for that, because again, the town, the city, the community doesn't support it. Well, this place supports this game like no other community in the country.
And the fact, talk about the relationship that the now Panini America Senior Bowl has with the National Football League. It's very much hand in glove. I mean, it's always been strong for years and years, correct?
Correct. And, you know, they started years ago, like I said, when they started in the collectible cards, you know, when they came over here because they were based in Italy to start out with, and it was, you know, mostly stickers and soccer and, you know, FIFA and everything else. Now, you know, I'm sure that in those 3,000 athletes, I'm sure they have over probably 500 to 600 NFL athletes, and now they're actually representing, you know, college athletes, and they're actually signing contracts with high school kids now in the states that they can.
Wow.
So they're going to have their hand in a lot. And like I said, the visibility that they bring to this will enhance our game, and it enhances visibility of the player also. And, you know, the players are worried about the brand. Well, yeah. if you're in a card, you're a brand. Yeah. Bottom line.
For sure. And Drew, from watching, you know, Phil Savage do that job, to Jim Nagy, to now you, it's remained in good hands. But something that will also continue is giving back to the community. And I know in the big press release with Panini America, announced officially as the title sponsor, also some news there that the Child Advocacy Center and the Africatown Community Develop Corporation, add those two to the Senior Bowl charities that you guys help out with.
Correct. And those checks will be presented to them tonight. At the reveal party. And I think that that's something Panini's going to be involved in, you know, throughout the time that they're going to be the sponsor here. They're like that in the communities that they're part of right now. And I think that they want to expand that, and I think that the community is important to them.
I don't know that the Senior Bowl has ever been on a better, you know,
trajectory.
Better run, for sure, getting players into the NFL in almost, certainly not exclusively, but in many, very often in the higher rounds, first and second and third round. I'm sure that you're aware of all of this. It's just been, you know, the level of play and the level of talent, I don't think it's ever been better.
Well, and that's a testament to, you know, the guys that have stewarded this game in the past, from Phil to Jim, and the staff here is incredible. I mean, and that's the part that people don't realize, that this is not just about just the football side. It's about the acquisition of, you know, the player to get them here, to keep them here, to talk to the agents, to, you know, make this a game that they want to play in. And I think that's what they've done a good job with, and that's what I hope to, you know, improve. And I hope to keep players, you know, from practice to the game, because just like I was just talking on Good Morning Football about, you know, when every single Hall of Famer that we brought in here said how important it was for their career to play in this game, they increased their value. They increased, you know, they made more production in this game seem like, heck, it's important. You know why? Because it is the best against the best. And when you're evaluating players, you don't say, hey, is, and I'm not bashing any small school or whatever, right, but let's just say you're at Notre Dame and you're playing against Miami of Ohio. Well, you really don't want to watch that game. You want to watch Notre Dame play against SC, mm-hmm. because you want to see him play against the best. And guess what? That's what he's going to be playing against in the NFL.
Right.
So that's relative to this game. You're playing against NFL prospects. You're lining up against NFL prospects. So, again, that's when you evaluate a player. You go, well, how do you do against such and such?
Yeah.
How do you do against such and such?
Yeah.
You know, and that tells you, you know, what is his, what's the curve? Is he going to be playing that well right off the bat? Is he going to have to be a developmental guy? Is he going to start out as a backup? I mean, that's why this game is important. And going back to your statement, yes, they have done a very good job of getting, you know, high draftable players in this game. Well, what I'm going to try to do is get, you know, have some more success even at the back end to where we have a high percentage of everyone getting drafted in this game. That's what I'm going to try to do.
And if you even do have an offseason, I'm not sure if you do as executive director of the Senior Bowl, but we have this big announcement today. You have the party tonight. When do you and the staff plan on really turning your attention over and looking at these rosters for every school across the country? I'm sure you're already underway, but when do you really start to put the blinders on and focus on who you're going to get into this game?
No, it's already started. We're going to distribute. We're going to announce we're changing how we're looking at things and what we're calling things in August. Mm-hmm. And you guys will see exactly what we're doing. The watch list is going to change. That'll be in the middle August part of it. And so put it this way, we have to have our list ready to go way before middle August.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working on that already. The board's already up. The magnets and all the background are getting put on those cards. They're going up here in the next week or two. And then we'll start narrowing it down to exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to, you know, approach this fall. And then the invites will go out after the season's over with.
What is the cooperation?
So we're way ahead of it.
What's the cooperation like with the universities, the teams, I should say? And why I say that, like, you got to do your homework. Somebody's got to tip you off about the kid at South Dakota State. But at Auburn or at Georgia or at Alabama, there might be a kid rising in the ranks there that the nation's really not aware of, and they're telling you he's been in the program for a couple of years now. He's about ready to become a big time player. Do you have conversations like that?
Yeah, we will. And you know, and the other part of that is not just the schools, but there are agents out there too that, you know, have found guys that say, you know, because even in high school, when you have these NIL agents and everything else, mm-hmm. they identify some guys. But those agents may identify players that may be deemed right now as low round prospects,
right,
that may start performing really, really well, and the production may go up. Well, we're going to track all the production of these players anyway. Well, but those agents may come to us, the liaisons, the coaches. I mean, you know, I've got relationships with, you know, tons and tons of coaches because of the, you know, background in the NFL, and those guys are going to feel free to throw names at me. Now I'm going to feel free to tell them exactly what I think of the player too, because I want the relationship to be a truthful relationship,
sure.
Not just, you know, hey, I'm gonna listen to you and not even look mm-hmm. at the kid. No, I'm still gonna look at the kid. So there's so many different avenues that you can bring players, you know, to us, but will they make it to the game? Will they get an invite? Well, that depends on how good a player they are.
Well, Drew, what an exciting morning. Well, for us to get to talk to you for the first time. We're excited about that. But the Panini Senior Bowl officially announced new title sponsor this morning. We've had people texting in even before that news this morning. They're ready for football to start. I know you are as well. So tell us again about the event tonight. And we'll be waiting, man. We can't wait to talk to you to get ready for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, we're having a reveal party at Crown Hall. And it's, you know, VIPs, media. It's just to announce this. Plus, mm-hmm. Panini's coming in town. They're bringing in two representatives for them. You know, we're going to introduce them to the community. We're going to have the check presentations to those two organizations that you talked about. And, you know, it's just kind of a get to know them, get to know us. And, you know, then we're just, like I said, we're just going to roll with this partnership. And like I said, I feel really, really excited about where this can go and how they can help our visibility. And I think we can help their visibility too.
Have you enjoyed Mobile so far?
Whirlwind. Still don't have my feet on the ground yet. Still don't have everything unpacked, but we did buy a home and we're working our way of getting it fixed up. And, you know, I love the people, love the area. And I told some friends of mine, I said, I said, I'm so happy to be down south again that I can't even see straight.
It's pretty amazing that the people in Mobile leave such an impression on. For instance, I worked closely with Mike Gottfried and the bowl game that features Sunbelt and teams from the MAC, and those people would come down here and they were almost thought that people were pulling their leg. Like, is everybody really this friendly, or are they picking my pocket here? So it's just
they really are.
Yeah, the attitude of the people is pretty amazing.
Yeah, but the thing really is, when I came down for the Senior Bowl, I never got to enjoy it because all I was doing was doing interviews and going to practice.
Yeah.
So I never actually got to understand this city until I moved to it.
Yeah.
Which, I'm really happy to be here. I really am.
You're going to be very pleased. And we're pleased to have you, man. Thanks for taking time this morning.
You're welcome, guys. And thank you. And like I said, let me know if I can help in any way.
Of course. Yeah. Great. Drew Fabianich, new executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. And coming back, we got a lot of texts to get to. 251-343-0106 as we wrap Mobile Mornings.
Do you think there'll be any Italian Crown Hall tonight?
Hope so.
Representing, if they have Panini execs in town, maybe somebody's
from. Could be.
It's 8:51, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. 8:55, Dan and Dalton getting to the text line here in a moment. Jeff Forshow on the way with Pastor Travis Johnson. Also State Representative Mark Gidley and in the final hour, ALGOP Chairman.
For now.
And
John Wall?
Yeah, well, Tennessee driver's license, John Wall. Or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, that's what Jeff's got on the way.
8:55. Let's buzz through as many of these texts as we can. Todd from Grand Bay, ready for college pick'em to begin. Me too, Todd. And we'll get that rolled out, obviously, before the college football season. If you're interested in sponsoring the college pick'em this season, hit me up, Dalton at fmtalk1065.com. Billy says, good morning, guys. I voted for Trump. I agree with everything, but there's always two sides. I'm married to a Latino family from Venezuela, good Catholic loving family. Have a nephew here that came over. It's working hard, sending all the money that he gets back home to his mother. He got a document that he has to leave. So the problem is the good ones will go back, the bad ones will stay. Appreciate that text, Billy. Another texter, need to have Quinn Hillier and Dale Jackson on air together. And we're entering the Quinn portion of text here. Good morning, guys. I guarantee you there's no way Quinn is pro-Trump or pro-MAGA. He hates Trump too bad. Let's see.
That was almost my point with the leader in Iran. Hmm. That no change in regime needed, but everything he fundamentally feels to the bone,
yeah,
he's got a change on. That would be Quinn becoming MAGA all of a sudden.
When's the
swearing that on the air?
When's the last time an 86-year-old leader of a country
waffled on something?
Well, decided that he's been wrong in his ways the entire time.
My whole life.
Tony Ann, oh, this is awesome. Red Clay Strays at Red Rocks. That sounds like an all-time trip there. Thanks for sending that, Tony. And I guess they're playing Red Rocks soon. I've got to make it out there to the Red Rocks and to see the Red Clay Strays. There would be perfect. Texture here. So Quinn's take is the U.S. and Israel should keep bombing Iran until they figure out we are right. That'll happen. Damn Yankee. Quinn is clueless. The whole basis of fundamentalist Muslims don't think that way.
A lot of that country is not necessarily fundamentalist Muslims, by the way. So just, throwing it out there.
Joshua, Martha Thomas Elementary was its name. So I guess where Billy Williams went and the site of, now it's a police precinct, right? But where it's, or is that where Pritchard Prep is?
Yeah,
I was kind
Pritchard
of confused on that.
And we were, Joseph and Rachel just moved back from Wrigleyville to Mobile. And I was in Pritchard for whatever reason. We came across Billy Williams Way.
There's
a street in town not far from the school.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Texture here. I think Panini America is the name of the company. It is, but this will be the Panini Senior Bowl. It's the Panini America, and then I think Panini is, but they're calling it the Panini Senior Bowl. Big new change this morning. And we appreciate your text, 251-343-0106, to keep it rolling through the Jeff Porsche.
And Dan and Dalton, tomorrow we'll be here. I'll be reporting on what I see downtown with that Hall of Fame ceremony. Should be a great time, beginning at 1:30.